and gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive-Thru HR. I know I have added a new intro song to Drive-Thru HR, which I love, by the way, but I'm not sure how our audience are going to feel about it, but let's find out. So let's kick off the show with our wonderful guest, Charlie from Globalforce. Hey, Charlie, welcome back to Drive-Thru HR.
Hey, Nisha, it's great to be here with you as always. Thank you again.
Great. Charlie, I forgot to, you know, ask this during the pre-show, which I normally do, but today, for some reason, I couldn't. How do I pronounce your last name?
No, that's quite all right. I sometimes even forget how to pronounce my own name. and it's not great because it actually phonetically means clumsy in German, but it's Ungeschick. Thanks for asking.
Ungeschick. Okay. Hey, that's a unique name there, and I loved it. So, Charlie, to our audience, you know the drill. At Drive-Thru HR, we let our guests to introduce themselves to our audience. So, give them a shout-out and tell them who you are and what you do.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, everybody, for taking the time today during your busy day to attend today's Drive-Thru HR show. My name is Charlie Ungeschick. I'm talking to you from a very cold Boston office where I work at a company called Globalforce. Globalforce is a company that pioneered and leads in the industry of social recognition. We transform old school's approach to catalogs and recognition from managers in the form of gifts into a social fabric that everyone in your company can use, giving awards from peers and colleagues and using that data to uncover new insights into your talent that you might not have ever had before. I am the head of marketing here. I've been here for nearly 4 years. Our company is growing like a weed, and I love talking with HR professionals, executives, about what challenges they have.
Wonderful. So, Charlie, the question for the next 30 minutes, as you know, what's keeping you up at night? Or probably you can talk about what's keeping your clients up at night.
Sure, yeah. You know, it's funny, Nisha, I was at an HR conference. It was sort of C-level CHRO conference a couple months ago, actually in Dallas, here in neck of the woods, and it was interesting to hear behind closed doors because when you close the doors and you have a setting where people are comfortable talking about their challenges, there's a theme that's coming across many of the things that perennial topics around employee engagement are still there, the war for talent and retention is still there. But something I'm hearing about is sort of the transformation of the workforce. And it's not just that millennials are going to be, between 30 and 40% of your workforce already today or very, very soon. It's almost like the processes that human resources often manage are invented, years ago or in the industrial age. And it's sort of a perennial discussion about, how do we improve them? What is talent analytics? What does that look like? How do we improve performance management? How do we measure our culture? How do we take the values off the wall and turn them into, something that is really demonstrable and measurable, and so that HR can, give new value, new analytics to the business? And so I think there's some places within human capital management that are fundamentally going through a transformation. A lot of it's driven by the changing nature of the workforce. And then a lot of it is just driven by looking at quote-unquote innovation and saying, we had a paper-based form in the 60s and 70s, and now we had technology called client-server in the 80s, and now that same paper-based form is still driving the way we evaluate performance. It's just now in the web. And shouldn't we be doing things better in different ways?
Absolutely, we should be doing things better. And I guess some of the companies are already doing it, but some of us are on the verge of, cynicism of getting outside of their comfort zone and trying something new. So let's talk about that innovation in HR. So you talked about talent analytics and measuring the culture or probably measuring employee engagement for that matter. But when it comes to innovation, what are some innovative ways that we can empower our workforce?
Sure. Well, one of them is around. I'll pick on the most extreme, oldest example of a of a process that a lot of times HR, in fact, I can find very few HR professionals who love what they're doing in this area, and that is around the traditional years of service program. Years of service program started in the 60s and 70s with a really, strong gift where employees, for their longevity and their service at the company were giving something truly meaningful. And back then, there was a presentation and the ceremony, kind of like you, if you think about it today, it was like it would be like your retirement party at your company. Somebody who's truly beloved has been with the company for a long time. And through the course of decades, people have sort of whittled away at the spending on these programs. And today, when you ask most people who have been at a company for, 3, 5+ years, just ask anybody. Next time you're on a plane, ask somebody about whether the last time they got a recognition award for their years of service. And they'll often, tell you it was a neutral experience at best, but sometimes negative. Like, they got a plaque delivered from their manager sitting on their chair when they walked into their cube or their office. Or, they got a really impersonal catalog in the mail. And, so whether it's a manager who has to be reminded and even cajoled into giving a presentation, or the employee who has to, get this impersonal experience, or HR who has to track, catalogs and shipment of gifts, it really makes you kind of scratch your head whether there shouldn't be some innovation in that area. And so that's one area of things that we've done. And if if anyone listening here wants to open up a browser and go to servicetimelines.com, they can see what the experience could look like from the vantage point of a beloved employee. And so what we've done is we've innovated around this old approach and created a crowdsourced, really deeply personalized experience that could even have like video selfie messages of someone telling a colleague that, hey, remember that time when you and I traveled on that trip and we had that frustrating meeting with the client, but we really turned things around. And so you can really transform an impersonal cold experience that really nobody likes into something that's social, mobile, dynamic, and crowdsourced. And we love working on things like that really transform the experience for the employee and the manager and HR.
It is indeed. And folks, the link that you need to check it out is servicetimeline.com. So, Charlie, this is an interesting platform, which I totally agree with you, and you guys are actually celebrating the relationships at work. So when it comes to somebody is receiving a video of their own team members or probably their own managers telling them how much they enjoyed working with them, which is totally awesome. So why social recognition is so important in today's workplace?
Well, social recognition for most of my clients, and remember, we have over 2 million employees on our platform for very large, global, really awesome clients. And so, when it comes to running the recognition program for an awesome employer like JetBlue, they have 15,000 crew members on our platform. It's not just they want to give their crew members great recognition framework, which they do. We run their quote-unquote Lyft program. And if you ever fly JetBlue and you ask a crew member about their Lyft program, I love asking them the question because they always smile and they love talking about the awards they get. But there's a real business reason that my clients use recognition. In the case of JetBlue, they have a direct correlation between the customer satisfaction that their travelers and flyers get with recognition to the level of engagement driven by recognition. I have other clients that see a direct correlation between retention and lower turnover and the level of recognition that managers are giving and employees are getting and employees are giving to each other. So there's a real business driver and a direct link between recognition and the level of engagement and obviously then the level of retention that the employees have. And so you think about your key talent, those people that are the ones that not just are the A players, but also the people that keep the lights on and keep the products, moving through the assembly line. You always got to look out for whether they're getting the right level of recognition, because there is a true business benefit to it. The other important aspect to it is the tie into culture, and the employer brand is something I hear a lot more about in talking to C-level HR executives. You know, when you go to look at your career site, one of the last places that your prospective employee will go to is actually your site. They'll actually go to Glassdoor or Indeed.com or other places to find out the pulse of what people are saying about your company. And recognition can play into that a lot because your culture wants to pervade the employees. When your employee starts at the company, where would they go to find out what the pulse of the company is, what good work looks like? And for all of my clients, that the number one place that they go to is the recognition program because it's a steady stream of messages between all employees saying, here's what my culture looks like around innovation, or here's what my culture looks like around safety. And so there's lots of real business reasons beyond just creating a fostering a culture of positivity.
Absolutely. So going back to, you know, that traditional recognition of waiting for 5 years to come, the completion of 5 years to come to give away probably a gift brochure or an award sort of, having an award ceremony. But nowadays, companies are moving more and more into an early recognition platforms, right? Whenever somebody is doing a great work, recognize them then and there at that spot itself. So to your point, it would be really amazing to hear what your perspectives are when it comes to creating an early recognition platform in an organization and how can they use social on that arena.
When many of the people who come to servicetimelines.com or come to Globalforce, and what they typically have is they have recognition. I mean, most companies have an acknowledgement that recognition needs to happen. But in a lot of cases, as companies, especially growing companies or innovative companies, come to us, they're trying to replace disparate, departmental, ad hoc approaches to recognition. And they're great to have, like, a top drawer of American Express gift cards that I can give as sort of a spot bonus here and there as a manager. But, you know, that is an interaction between a manager and employee that no one else sees. It's not tied to corporate values, and it's not tracked, so it doesn't work globally.
Mm-hmm.
So what innovative growing companies often do is they consolidate under a social approach towards recognition. And so recognition almost becomes a currency of happiness and a tie-in to performance and culture in a way that gives employees a sense of purpose at their company, as well as managers a place to go to, and HR, of course, a centralized approach that they can see, you know, culture, see the value of their spend, measure the return on investment. And so, you know, the social approach is not just giving everyone a view of what great work looks like. It's actually scaling that across the entire company.
Great. So now that being an HR professional, I should normally ask the question of ROI, right? So when it comes to buying any sort of products or any sort of technology platform, this question comes to my mind, basically, when I compare this to a traditional recognition, when I compare social recognition along with that traditional recognition, how much do you value that ROI, and what is the difference that you see?
Sure. So one of the things that our customer success approach is when we engage with a customer is we actually define their recognition strategy and the return on investment, and that helps mm-hmm. us tailor an approach to recognition. That's not just a technology or a program. It's actually a holistic, fundamental approach towards how they think about recognition at their company. So in some companies, in the case of JetBlue, since I mentioned them before, they have great engagement. Their engagement scores typically hover over 90%. And so, you know, they were actually looking to have a way to track their culture so that you can see one of their five core values starting with safety. So now with the Lyft program, you can go into any of JetBlue's locations and see who is living the values around safety or passion or fun, right? So that was the challenge that they were looking to have, and the return on investments could be measured, as I mentioned, around direct correlation from engagement to customer satisfaction for the JetBlue flyer. Other of my clients look at things like retention. So if you have industries where knowledge workers are hard to find, we have a number of technology companies, for example, in the Bay Area and who run globally. And so being able to have recognition as a framework for retaining key talent, and also recognition as a framework for managers to see where performance is happening, not waiting for the traditional performance review. Those things factor into the return on investment for that recognition program and recognition strategy.
That's great to know that organization who does have an effective recognition platform have a high engagement rate. So, when it comes to creating a culture of recognition, here are some few points that you wanted to share to our audience, probably 5 points that you wanted to share to our audience. Where should they start, and how should they go about while creating a culture of recognition?
Sure. The tempo starts at the top in terms of creating a culture of recognition. When you have your values defined, and they're defined well and really thought through, it's great, but it can't just be something that bubbles up from the bowels of human capital management or human resources. It really does need to start fundamentally at the top of the leadership team. So most of my most successful clients have a chief executive, sometimes it's even the CEO, that will be featured in a video prominently on the careers page and certainly through the break rooms and on the intranets of these companies. And so they know that recognition is not only a benefit, but it's expected. And so the culture really comes from that sponsorship at the very top. The second thing is, as I mentioned, is a great design. You got to have to look at your strategy through the lens of what kind of ambition you want, how you tie recognition in your core values, and then how you measure everything along the way. And so, for example, one of the things that all of my clients measure is the reach of recognition. As an average benchmark, for example, within a launch of a successful program, within the first 6 months, most of my clients see that 60% plus of their workforce will be touched by recognition. And so you want to have a broad reach. That's the third thing, so that recognition can touch as many people as possible. A lot of times people come into the thought of recognition as just for the top players or whatever, and so you don't have to be limiting the approach. You can expand what we call the winner circle to reach many more people. Last thing is broad adoption. When you have a social approach to recognition and you turn it on, you get 60% of the employees touched by recognition. Everyone then sort of knows where to go when they need to thank somebody for doing a great job. And so with the old school approaches to recognition, you had to, cajole managers and train them and tell them how to do a presentation. It's all very forced. With a social approach, sponsored by the top with great design, everyone can use it. It feels like something that all the employees own. And that's, those are some of the key elements that go into a new modern approach towards recognition.
Going back to your fourth point, that is happening in some of the organizations, like top performance would always be the top performance, but they fail to focus on that average performance or who are in the middle of poor or in between poor and top performance. So can you talk a little bit more about that aspect of recognizing people based on their performance, so not just recognizing the top performers alone, but then organizations are recognizing people based on their performance at every level of their organization.
Sure. Well, there's two aspects of that question. One is how who should get recognition, And then the next question, which is the second question, which is a very popular question, is what's the right level of award? So our philosophy, being social as you'd expect, is that everyone who merits recognition should get recognition, and that's what lifts up the entire performance of the company. Because your top performance, you're not going to be able to hold those people back from doing great work. You know, those are the people who typically always get most of the merit increases and the spot bonuses, and they should, because they're A players, right? But it's the people in the middle, the 70% in the middle, who make the trains run, who oftentimes don't get enough recognition. So a social approach solves for that. But then how much do I give an employee who might have saved a meeting because they fixed the phone system, versus the employee who canceled their honeymoon to come in and win the biggest deal in the company's history? I mean, those are two very different things. And so, you know, when we work with our clients, they put in place a spectrum of awards that that give employees something commensurate with the level of effort and also the level of outcome that they've had for their company. And most people don't think of it that way, because when you're coming from an old school approach of recognition, they think of a catalog with, you know, items of similar value, right? And if you're clever about it, you can give employees something that is most meaningful for them. And if it's not too, you know, in cases where you might want to give somebody an award for something that they did in a way that was quick and with maybe limited impact, but it was still worth acknowledging, you have a portfolio of different kinds of awards that you can give them.
That's true. Well, you talked about the reach of recognition as one of the metrics, right? So is there any other metrics that our audience should know when it comes to measuring the impact of their recognition platforms?
Sure. So one of the things that, you know, we're a SaaS platform with very deep analytics, infographic style reports and dashboards. And one of the things that we can do is we can allow HR professionals to measure not only the reach and performance and impact of the recognition program, but they can also compare it to other data. The conference that I was mentioning that I went to in your neck of the woods not too long ago, the number one thing that HR professionals were surveyed around was talent analytics, right? The talent analytics for a lot of people is almost the holy grail. It's an aspiration that's always often on the edge of the desert, but is never attainable. But what we can do is, because the data of recognition is so frequent, unlike any other, think about HR process, even recruiting or learning, those are less frequent than recognition. We allow you to compare the volume of recognition data against other HR metrics. I'll give you a quick example. One of our reports is called Talent Maps, and Talent Maps lets you compare it. If you think of an XY axis, you have along the top, you might have vertically the volume of recognition. So people who are at the top of that graph get a lot of awards, and then across the horizontal axis might be your performance rating, 0 to 5, 1 to 5, and so. Managers can now, and we plot these things together. So on the upper right of the spectrum, naturally you might see your top performers getting a lot of recognition and a high performance rating, like a 5. And no surprise, towards the bottom left, you'd see a lower performing employee not getting a lot of recognition. And that is a sort of a natural progression along that axis. But a manager might get a lot of value from seeing things that are outliers. Say somebody who's gotten a weak performance rating, like a 1 or a 2, but getting a ton of recognition. Now, it's an indicator. It just means that the wisdom of the crowds, those people that the peers and colleagues of that worker, are acknowledging that person in ways that the manager may not have. And conversely, you might have a high performance. You know, my employee Joe is the number one performer. I gave him a 5, and Joe's got no recognition. And so why is that? It may be totally benign. Maybe Joe is working from home and doesn't get a lot of interaction, or maybe my perception of Joe is different. And so I can go into the data and look at what's going on inside of the awards that flow to and from those employees. So talent analytics doesn't have to be this long, long away, far away thing that never gets the attention of IT and is always too elusive. It can start earlier with a social approach to recognition and allowing you to take some of your traditional processes and data and mash them up with something like social recognition data.
All right, Charlie. So who does it better when it comes to social recognition? Give us some examples, some organizations that we wanted to check it out.
You mean some of my clients or
some some of your clients or probably outside of your clients that you think that they are doing a great job out there that who are good at social recognition that I just wanted to do some research.
Sure, sure. I'll mention three. So one, I'll summarize JetBlue. JetBlue has 15,000 crew members. They're scaling their culture because they're growing so fast, and they see a direct correlation in their Lyft program between recognition and engagement. The second client is Intercontinental Hotels Group. They've got a Bravo program, and they are completely passionate about their culture. The Bravo program gives them, on a global basis, a means of scaling that culture. And as employees come into IHG, Intercontinental Hotels Group, they're able to completely get indoctrinated into what their culture means. And you should check out their culture page on IHG.com because they've got awesome iconography around all their core values. And even if when you go to their headquarters in the UK or in Atlanta, their kiosks, their workplaces are all painted literally with their core values and those icons. And all of that is driven by social recognition. And the last client I'll mention is very different in terms of the return on investment. Conagra Foods is a global manufacturer and supplier of foods around the globe. They took a Canadian departmental program and they replaced it with a global approach towards recognition. But what they're doing is they're taking the data, and they're really on the leading edge, like a couple of other clients, of mashing up the data from recognition with all of their other talent management systems. And they're doing it outside of our platform in a HR data mart. But some of the analytics that they're coming out with are truly remarkable. And if I could just put in a plug, we have a new book coming in January that I'd love to tell your listeners about. Where we have a lot of these case studies that will be outlined. The book is called, by the way, The Power of Thanks. And if you go to Amazon, I think you can pre-order it today. But if you want to see the operator's manual around engagement, social recognition, culture positivity, and big data analytics, the book is full of examples, of real-world examples of how to get it done in the real world.
Wonderful. Well, Charlie, thank you so much for joining with us today and sharing more information on social recognition. So where can our audience connect with you and get hold of you?
Yeah, I would encourage the listeners to go to servicetimelines.com, and you'll see a video there of what it actually looks like in the experience. I mean, you can go to globalforce.com, but I think to actually see it from the real employee's perspective, there's a quick video that will give your listeners the actual experience of it. So servicetimelines.com.
And your Twitter handle?
Is globalforce, GLOBOFORCE.
All right. And check it out, their book, The Power of Thanks, and that's going to be awesome. So, Charlie, thank you so much again, and we look forward to having you again on the show sometime soon, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
It's always awesome, Nisha. Thank you again.
Thanks. Bye-bye, Charlie.